You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How are things going, girls? Actually, let me tell you how it's going. In my house this week, my fridge died. My refrigerator. Ever heard of My refrigerator got really one night. You just go to get a little ice from the freezer on Monday, I guess. I'm like, wow, this ice is not ice. It is. It's wet. It's looking around the freezer. It's also wet in here. The fridge is so hot, like a stove on outside.
Oh no! I didn't know it'd do that.
Hot. So I just, it's like, what can you do? You know, 11 p.m. So it's like, well, I'm just gonna go play Connections for a while and contemplate my life. And then I messaged my landlord the next morning, being like, hi, could someone come look at my fridge? It's not maintaining appropriate temps.
You didn't say it's hot, hot, hot?
You didn't say, Jeff, the fridge is hot.
It's so wet and it's hot.
It's wet and hot. I've got a hot, wet fridge.
My fridge is too horny to live. No, I said it's not maintaining appropriate temps. This is like, it's like, on the one hand, this is good because it's like immediate action. But on the other hand, it's like, wow, so you're not surprised by this. Jeff just says, okay, we will probably get you a new fridge. I'm like, I guess I thought you might send a repair man, but I guess I forgot we don't live in a repair culture anymore.
No.
He says, we will purchase new fridge.
He's like, we've actually known for a while that that fridge was nearing the end of its lifespan.
So. We're shocked that it's lasted this long. So, yeah, but it is a small fridge, which blows, but it has like, it's a little built-in space in this apartment. So I got to order a fridge, and he had to come do some measuring. I mean, he ordered a fridge, and then he said, can I come measure where the fridge will be, which is backwards. That's not the right order. And now I don't have a fridge. I have an igloo cooler, an igloo cooler. They're just living in my back hall and keeping a wonderful, like, nutritious variety of things like grapefruit juice in there, and just gonna be living like that for, I don't know, could be 5 days, could be 10 days, could be 15 days. It's not for me to know.
It's not right,
but it is what's happening, and that's how things are here. And I would say they're bad. And it's hot out again. Yeah. It's hot out. I don't have a freezer. I don't have any ice. Ice is my favorite thing in the world. Ice is the only treat a girl truly needs. Like, you can't live without. But you can. You have to sometimes.
Are you an ice chewer or just like an ice in drink
person? Oh, ice in drink, ice chew. Ice just kind of sometimes like to like rub ice on my face. Like, ice is life. You know? I guess there's ice in the cooler, but I'm like, that kind of has to stay there. Most of that kind of has to be there.
That's serving a purpose, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the lifestyle over here. And
that is not so good.
Yeah, I don't like that for you.
It's suboptimal, girls. It's not what I prefer.
Simply not chill.
It's not chill. We used to have a freezer in the basement. Like, kind of like a hunting freezer vibe. And it's like, why was it down there? I don't know. But it broke last year.
When you live in Minnesota, you're going to have some hunting freezers, you know.
Right. It's like, what if you win some venison at the meat raffle? Like, you need somewhere to put that.
Exactly.
But it died, and then they just didn't replace that, so there's nothing. So, anyway, that's all. I wanted to keep you guys abreast of the situation. And if you wonder, like, why I sound morose, why I sound like sometimes I might like just stop talking mid-sentence and it sounds like she's looking off into the distance and there's a really haunted look on her face. That's probably fridge related. And you'll have to imagine the look, but it will be there.
It'll look similar to Kyle O'Reilly when he came back contemplating his cannibalism.
Yeah, except if I were in his state, I'd be perfectly happy because you're surrounded by ice down there. He iced so 4 days.
He had that's all the ice a boy could want.
That's the thing. When you're reading up on these doomed expeditions, you're reading up on your Shackletons, the thing that isn't coming up is they had as much ice as they wanted.
Their drinks were ice cold.
I think probably in many cases, it was hard to get a drink to go with your ice. It was
so true.
Yeah, so I wish that were... God, I wish that were me. I wish I were on the doomed Shackleton expedition. My favorite of the Arctic expeditions.
Wow.
All right. Wow. Anything to report from you two?
It's the last days of hot and summer. The pool closes a week from yesterday, Wednesday, October 8th. Counting it down.
Siri, play what one of our mutual friends the other night called an American song of sorrow, Taps. You can thank our friend Alice for that one. I'm sorry, Ian. That's going to be hard. I know it will.
I know. I hope you'll help me ease the transition into, I don't know, some fall activities.
I'll do everything I can.
It's going to be rough.
And I'll do everything I can for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And how do you feel about lampshades?
You want a lampshade? Hey, you want me to make you a lampshade?
Maybe I do. You know, the troubling thing is I started listening to... This isn't troubling. This is context for the troubling thing. But I started listening to Blank Check on Ali's recommendation.
Hell yeah.
Listened to the Silence of the Lambs episode. Immediately was like, I haven't seen Silence of the Lambs since I was like a teen. So I was like, it's streaming. It's on HBO Max. So put it on. I was like, I'm just going to watch a little bit. And then I accidentally watched the whole thing because that movie is really good.
Really good.
Really good. I don't know if people are probably sleeping on this one that won all the Oscars.
I think they're not talking about it enough. I don't think they are.
Especially, it's been parodied so much. You'd think it would not hold up because you've seen it all, but it still does, which is great. But anyway, then of course, after that, I was on the Wikipedia, and then I was looking at the serial killer Wikipedias of the people it was based on, which were many of them. And then, there were lampshades made of human skin. And so when you just offered me a lampshade, I was like, oh God, Allie. And then I was like, wait, no, not a good, that's not a normal.
Your brain is now that if you're making a lampshade, it's a human skin lampshade. That's kind of the only kind there is.
Yeah. So.
I do have some leather. I guess I could make you a leather lampshade.
That's okay, really. I'd probably prefer one that didn't resemble human skin if you got one of those.
Oh my God, did you guys watch the trailer for Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein?
No.
It looks so good. I'm so excited.
Oh, man. I'm psyched. Weren't a bunch of people on Twitter complaining that the monster isn't a monster, which is the whole point of the book?
I think there was.
Yeah. I think they were the doctor is the villain. That's so fucked up. Yeah. It's like, no, that's what the book's about.
Always has been, baby. I do think there were some uninformed takes, which is troubling because it's there's so many things in life that I can kind of, I don't support it, but I can understand how you're uninformed about it. But to be uninformed about the book Frankenstein, it's you didn't do ninth grade? What do you mean?
You didn't graduate high school?
And there's that. And I'm also, and this is troubling for me to say, you haven't grown up with the meme that it's
I know,
about
no, it's
Frankenstein's
true.
Monster?
Yeah, very true.
That is true. That's true. Well, it looks like it's really going to slap. I saw the reason I encountered the trailer this morning was because someone on Twitter was being Netflix sucks and Netflix funded it. And I hadn't watched the trailer yet. And I was I don't think Guillermo would do me dirty, though. He knows what he's doing. So then I was watching the trailer, trying to decide if I was supposed to be hating it when obviously I'm panting like a dog being okay, Mr. Crimson Peak Frankenstein, so you're everything to me. And then I found out they're just mad because it's going to theaters for 3 weeks and then it's being released on November 7th on streaming, I think November 7th. And I was no, not for spooky season, not for October. And then it was they want you to go to the theater in October. And I was and I just might. And I actually might go see Mr. Frankenstein in theater.
It does crack me up sometimes when, I mean, obviously we all, criticize capitalism for when, they're egregious. But it does crack me up when people sometimes will complaint. It'll basically boil down to, wow, they want me to spend money.
And it's like, yeah. it's like, wait, so I can't have it right now? I have to wait 3 weeks for it? And I'm like, I would say that in my group chat, but I'm not going to hop on Twitter.com and complain about it, like, in for real. Like,
so many people like, that's okay. Far that's too actually comfortable. Okay. Yeah, far too comfortable taking some takes outside their group chat. It's like, yeah. Some need some context. Yeah.
I think if there's one thing that I think we all would agree on, and we would like just send this message out to the people of the world, it's like, make sure you have a group chat, and your yeah. group chat has to be a trusted group chat. I'm not just yeah. talking about like any old mm-hmm. Discord you're in. Like this is your safe haven. Yeah. This is a place that yeah. you can go and say, guys, I need full support on this one. And yeah. your friends are going to say, absolutely, queen.
Yeah.
Whatever you need. Like,
yeah. yeah. Right. Tell me the response you want. I will give you that response. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. and then that's where you live, and that's where you can say anything. Yeah.
Then you vent your spleen anything. And you don't need yeah. to go on Twitter.com and vent your spleen about right. Netflix's.
Like I can go to our group chat at any time. Maybe I'll do it after this call, and I'll say Netflix should be jailed forever for not releasing Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein on streaming right now. And it's legal for me to say this in my group chat, and you yeah. all would be like, take him to the chokey, Netflix. Take yeah. Netflix to yeah. the chokey.
We'd be like, gavel emoji.
Yeah. yeah. He's done for.
Absolutely. Yep.
But I don't say that on Twitter because I'm an adult.
And because Twitter teaches you that the whole world is a bad faith place out to get you, and then you just become more and more aggressive. You get in an aggressiveness spiral. Yeah. It's not good for your little brain.
No.
I think we might be the first podcast to comment on it, but I think social media is bad.
Yeah.
Oh, and Leah, it's crazy to say that, but what if you're right? What if you're right? All right. Well,
I love that it's three complete lurkers saying this.
Like, that's why we can be so powerful, because yeah. we understand that there's so many things that you like. One of the great joys of life is to just say something flippantly. It's like, and you don't think yeah. it through. And yeah. there's many things you can say flippantly that aren't like, they're not damaging. They're not fucked up. They're just not right.
Yeah.
And you can just yeah. say, you can freely say them in your group chat. But if you say them on some place like Twitter, it's really scary the number of people who will come in and be like, let me take that completely seriously. And it's like, oh no, what I was doing, it's called talking to talk. It's just called yeah. recreational talking. It's that I don't like silence. So I just say things yeah. and, you know, then it's just fun to say things. And yeah. I really mm-hmm. don't want to learn that you are liking some of these things
that you're liking them. I like that it's not people are attacking me for this. It's like, you like them too much. That troubles me.
Like, that was nothing. But it is just stuff like, you know, it's like Netflix is problematic for many reasons, but not really because they're like, we're going to send this movie to theaters. Like, that's technically okay.
Seems like Guillermo del Toro should be having movies in theaters when you think about it.
Oh my God. No one deserves it more.
Yeah.
Little Night at the Theater with Guillermo. Do you think this has been a good like educational segment or?
Oh yeah. I think people are taking notes for sure. Life lessons.
Social like media bad. Friendship good.
Frankenstein,
yes.
not monster. No, Frankenstein is the monster. Frankenstein's monster is not the monster.
Yeah. Frankenstein's monster, nice man.
Mm-hmm. Say less victim. On Twitter.
But say more everywhere else.
In person.
Group chats, podcasts, in person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can't get in trouble for anything you say on a podcast.
Otherwise, that's too much effort to cancel you.
Otherwise, we would be in big trouble. But luckily, they can't get us for this.
If you have something to say, go find a physical third space and say it there.
Go to a coffee shop. Stand in the middle. Make an announcement. Netflix is trash, say.
Okay, I would love if we brought back the town square, not Twitter. The real life town
yeah,
square.
Like a literal soapbox. Like yeah. you stand on that soapbox on a town corner. You say what you need to say. That's yeah. out of your system.
And if you hesitate before saying it, maybe that's a sign that you yeah. shouldn't be saying it.
Yeah, we've got somebody manning the box that has like the mic. And as you get up there, they just say, do you really want to say this? And if you have to think about it, don't say it.
See, last chance. Last chance, sister. All right. Wrestling. The topic, we come here every, we gather every week in this, our third space, to discuss. Every week
for 4.5 years, baby.
So many years of it now. So many years for AEW in general, because yeah. What a beautiful transition. What was Wednesday night Dynamite? Couldn't do it without you, Anne. It was the 6th anniversary of Dynamite, and what a festival it was. We'll really be getting into it. Let's pause for just a moment and let's think back to when we were young, yeah. when we started watching wrestling, and to us, it was like, wow, Dynamite has been here forever, and we're the babies. Mm-hmm. It had been on air for 1 year.
Yeah, less than a year. It had been on air for like 10 months, which I was extremely not aware of at the time. I was thinking back on it tonight, and then I was like, yeah, and honestly, like, it took a month or two for me to even become fully aware that it was like a television show airing on cable, because our friend who got us into it is Canadian, so she would like link us, and she wanted us to be able to access it easily, so she'd like link us to like the janky streams and stuff. So there was, it was like, oh wait, this is a show on like TNT in America. Yeah. Okay, I get it.
It felt illegal at first. Yeah. You could access it at any other way.
I don't think we understood it. Like, at least I speak only for myself. And I guess I hadn't had, like, any kind of cable in many years. So just the idea that something could be on a channel anymore was like, that doesn't sound right to me. But I remember at one point being like, Mary, I'm taking you by your shoulders. I'm looking you in your eyes. Explain to me where this lives. Who owns this? I don't get it. I don't get where this is coming from.
I, like, for some reason, vividly remember when she was like, oh, yeah, and if you want to torrent it, it's under the name AEW Dynamite. So we were, like, several weeks in before we knew the show name, I think.
Yeah.
But to think now, and so now it's like we're looking back 6 years of Dynamite. It's so startling. It was like genuinely, like, I'm watching 6 years of Dynamite. I'm just like, we've seen like all of that. Yeah. Wait a second, but we're new here.
10 months, and then, but of the 6 years, we didn't even miss a full year. Like, that does feel crazy.
I know.
Yeah. And now there are people talk to us and they're like, oh yeah, I started watching in like 2023, like wrestling in 2023. And it's like, what do you mean we're not the newest babies?
It really scares me. And honestly, mm-hmm. At one point while I was watching the show, I was like, people aren't going to start like expecting us to know things though, right? Like, they're never going to expect us to actually know anything, right? Please, please.
I do remember at one point Sarah Shockey being like, oh yeah, I've been watching wrestling for 8 years, so I'm a pretty new fan. And I was like, okay, that's crazy. And now I'm like, no, that's right. Yeah. Because you'll never catch up. Like,
No.
You could watch it for 40 years, but if you didn't start when you were 7 years old, you're a new fan.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know what? I think that's good. Like, I'm like, great. Oh, yeah. I'm glad that nobody will ever expect me to be an old fan, because I can't. I can't be. I'm always going to be a little baby. It's every day is my first day on earth. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm little jungle boy every day. I'm just like, what is happening here? What is this thing we're watching? Did you guys like the anniversary vibes?
Yeah. I thought it was fun. You know, like, something Trish and Zara have said a couple times recently is that AEW doesn't capitalize on their own nostalgia enough. And I'm like, that is true. And I thought they did a pretty good job, where I was just like, aw, this has been around for 6 years. That's so fun. And people thought they wouldn't last, but they sure did.
Yeah. Looks like we made it.
Yeah, and this episode had like so many like originals and people who've just come back. And I did feel very like just nostalgic. And I was thinking a lot of like, oh, what the show was like back when we first started watching. Mm-hmm. And Jungle Express is back together. And
remember Marco's stunt?
Yeah. I'll never forget. And when he came back for that one special episode, it turned out he didn't get eaten at all. He was alive. No.
That was amazing.
They realized, I was like, what am I thinking of him as? And it's like little Timmy from Scrooge.
Little Tiny Tim
from Scrooge's Christmas. I thought you meant like little Timmy's down the well. And I was like, did you think that Marco Stunt was stuck down a well somewhere? And like,
yeah, he does seem like he would have gotten like kidnapped by Buffalo Bill and put in a well. That feels right.
It does feel right, yeah.
That's where he keeps them, Leah. No, I meant because, like, and Tiny Tim, who did not die, Marco's son.
Great reference. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, it took us a while to get there. Really good. We did get a big, we got a nice long, you know, retrospective package of great moments on Dynamite over the years.
And it was so nice of Tony to take our suggestion and set it to Constantine. Like, that was so smart. That was cool.
Yeah. He listens really and he heard that he said, wow, they really want me to call Andrew McMahon. And I understand that because I grew up with these songs as well. And that's what everyone is saying. Everyone is saying to us, they say, oh, yeah. Oh, we of course we know all of our something corporate. We know our Jack Manic. Of course, we love Constantine. Yeah. That's what everyone's.
Turns out
we got so many responses. Yeah. Of just people being like, wow, I haven't thought about that song in years. But of course, it was so important to me. And we got no responses of people saying, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, everybody knew. And they said, girls, you are so right for this one. And they loved our suggestion. Anyway.
That didn't stop us.
And it never will.
Allie will edit Constantine to that 6-year anniversary package until you all know the song.
It's easy. It's easy. We make our own content.
The secret sauce to our podcast is that we crack each other up. And that's all that's important.
This is why wrestlers like Jack Perry enjoy the Tumblr contingent of which we are a part, is because we say, I'm here to make art. I'm here to contribute something. And that something is called taking out the song you used that I didn't like and putting in a song that means a lot to me.
And worked better, frankly.
It did. Yeah. I mean, I got emotional. Yeah.
I know. I did kind of feel like, because I did not like the song they used in the package. And I was what do you want me to feel? Just that they did cool wrestling moves. But when we put Constantine in, now there's a story. There's a narrative.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, check our Twitter or Blue Sky. Allie tweeted it. It is quite good.
Yeah,
I tweeted it all by myself.
A lot of emotional wrestlers. Although sometimes there were still some remaining scenes of like Will Ospreay like tiggering through that didn't quite. Constantine was a little bit tonally shift. He didn't know about it, but that's Will Ospreay. He's going to tigger through Constantine too. So
I wish you were able to fully rearrange every single shot like you were in the back.
I know,
because having Constantine came walking down the stairs as Will Ospreay like tiggers.
Oh my God, that would have been so funny.
I did. I like that you said that, like, it would be impossible to do. It's perfectly possible to do. And in fact, at one point today, while I was working on this little project, I was like looking at how it had lined up and I was like, God, there's so many places where it's close to being just right, but it's not. But if I just got in there, and then it was like, stop. This is not that kind of project. This is actually something that you're doing so that you don't have to do a schedule for the show that you're now listening to, listener, and you might be thinking, like, sounds like they don't have a schedule. Look what they've been talking about thus far. No, we do, because I stopped myself, finished that project, and I went and did the schedule. But
you're so proud.
Heroically.
So proud. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Well, great Dynamite show. It really was a really good Dynamite show.
It really was.
Yes.
Except for one thing that happened to us, and I know, hey, real ones already know that maybe they were talking about it all night on commentary. I didn't hear commentary even one time welcome to our 2.5-hour wrestling extravaganza.
I had no idea.
Mm-mm. So we got to the end of the show. It was like 10 minutes before Leah's saying things. Honestly, already had too much knowledge. She's saying things like, we've got two matches left. How are we going to get him in there? I said, how do you know we have two matches left?
Yeah, I was really like, I think you're mistaken, Leah.
Okay. Don't give me too much credit, though, because you said, what are the two matches? And I said, oh, I don't know. I knew about 10 seconds ago, but it already left. It went away. I don't have it.
It was so dark. It was so dark when there's 5 minutes supposedly less than the show and you still have the whole main event and we're like middle of a match that is not close to ending at all.
No, the main
event can't start after the show ends. We can't have an overrun like that, but
I do think it's kind of funny though that actually we kind of accepted as a group, like we hadn't done any searching. So we were kind of like, you can't have a main event start after the show is supposed to be over. You can't have that kind of overrun. We all agree on that. But I think all of us in our hearts were like, oh, Tony Wood. Obviously, that's what's happening.
Yeah, it's obviously clear that, I mean, yeah.
And then I Googled it, and I found The Smoking Gun, which was just a normal article saying that they'd been advertising it as a 2.5-hour Dynamite. To whom and where?
Not to
me. I know.
And
I mean, so many wrestling spaces.
I know. I actually follow a lot of news now. How did that not make it down to me? Well, I didn't participate in that. I
wasn't. Yeah, I did think you were pretty quiet during the last half hour.
And I was like, you know, I've been staying up too late. I'm going to be really responsible. And so I'm going to take my, like, bedtime edible, like, a little, instead of, like, after 10, I'm going to take it, like, at 9:30, and then I'll just fall asleep, like, really soon after Dynamite. So I took it at 9:30, and then I was like, oh, God, 20 minutes later, when it became clear it was a 2.5-hour episode of Dynamite.
If I would not, I would believe it. If I found out that Tony had invested in technology that hid from us, just the three of us,
yeah,
all discussion of extra long programming, he was just like, they can't know. They are going to have to be there, but they cannot know about it in advance.
But he's foolish.
Like, they'd get pre-mad.
Well, I would get pre-mad, but I also
the one thing we'll get pre-mad about.
The one thing I would get pre-mad about. But the thing is, if I knew that that was going to happen, I would have spent my night differently. I started Dynamite from bed. I was not doing well. I would have stayed in the living room if I knew there was going to be an extra half an hour. So Tony,
you sent us,
tell me next time.
Such a cheeky little bed shot of you that I mistakenly for a moment thought that she was sending a weird nude where she was like under a blanket, and I was like, what is going on with her tonight?
Do you guys agree that photos of me in bed make me look like I've aged 1,000 years?
No, I don't.
You looked youthful. I like, for some reason, okay, that sounded weird, but like one of our friends has done it, like a selfie.
How many photos of you in bed are we seeing?
I know, that really gives an impression. It's like, of course, we're all sending each other photos every 5 minutes all day long.
Because your friends will be coming in posting pictures of themselves in bed every other minute.
Our friend did like a selfie September where she was posting like prompts that everybody would send selfies that fit the prompt. And one of them was like, send with you with bedhead. And I kept trying. And every time I like took a picture of me like in bed waking up, I looked like the tree from Pocahontas. I really think there's something about me in bed that ages me about 45 years.
No, you didn't look old in that picture at all. But like, I can see
like
what
a
you're
hag.
Saying.
You didn't.
But it was in a very normal way, which is just, I think everyone, when they're lying down, your face.
Gravity.
Yeah, the gravity situation. And when you're sleepy also, and your expression is like not as animated.
I think I need to start standing at all times for my beauty.
Yeah, I think you should sleep standing up.
Okay, I love that for you. I'm not even going to push back. I want you to figure out how that feels for yourself. I want you to experience that.
And I mean, this way, at least we'll be, with the selfies that you do send us every 2 to 5 minutes throughout the day, at least we'll be
of you in bed,
to
mostly.
Not, mostly of you in bed, that you won't look like the Pocahontas tree. It'll be a huge relief to me.
I feel that.
I can't wait for you to look so youthful and fresh-faced with all those standing and selfies you send.
Be like, wow, what a beautiful selfie again. Like that full-time standing.
So young.
You know
could
what?
Not be
the
working
next,
better.
The next selfie I send, your responses better be, oh, how youthful. Your skin is so tight and fresh.
Leah, did you get a facelift? Leah, how are your fillers doing?
Do you think it's okay that we're a half an hour into this podcast?
Half an hour?
Really
No.
Oh, God.
That's
a lot of chit-chat.
Possible.
We are 30 minutes in and we haven't started talking about our match yet.
Oh, dear.
Do you think we'll have to, maybe you can just cut out a lot of that beginning part.
Do you think I should cut out most of the part about my selfie face?
No, definitely not.
No,
I would cut the Twitter stuff before you cut the selfie stuff. This is gold. This stuff is gold.
Yeah. People are going to want to hear about your bed shots.
Okay. I'm sorry. This is on me. I'm getting down to business. Okay. Tony Khan zagged us. Blah, 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 blah. He should be in the doctor's waiting room with one copy of Highlights for Kids to read for 100,000 years for his crimes. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, let's jump back on Dynamite. Before we get to the main event, let's talk about some of the stuff that built to it. So, Tony Storm fought Ty J. Ty Conti earlier in the show, and she cut a promo afterwards where she talked about losing the belt, and she challenged Chris to a singles match because she needs to know one-on-one which of them will prevail. Because, of course, she lost in this four-way match. Chris then had an answering promo backstage with Renee where she accepted for WrestleDream. So they're going to have a singles match at WrestleDream. Leah, you had a thought about why this might be happening.
Well, I was very interested in – I was listening to ONR, and I said this in James's – in to James in the ONR Discord, so I don't have a problem saying it. He had some crazy takes about this, the Tony-Chris match, where he seemed to feel that the way that Chris lost – or Chris won the belt both made Tony look weak and Chris look weak. Which wasn't my impression at all. It's not how I took it at all. But I wonder if James's opinion is the more common, like, wrestling man opinion. So now they're, like, doing a make-right where, like, Chris is going to beat Tony straightforwardly. And then it's going to be like, okay, she really could. Like, she did. It wasn't just a fluke. She really did. She really can beat Tony, but I don't think they needed to do that. I'm like, I think it's going to be a really good match, so I'm not like mad about it, but I am just sort of like, I thought that the surprise roll up worked, so it's, I don't really think they need to fix anything to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not mad about it, but I also just wondered though if it's like, we don't, when is this pay-per-view? 1 week? 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
When is it, like, now? 18th. Tonight? Is it happening right now? The 18th? Okay, so it's really fast, so it's like, maybe it's kind of, in some ways, like, maybe they're like, you don't want to try and build a whole, like, feud for Chris who just got the belt before the next pay-per-view. Like, it's like, it serves everybody, maybe. Like, the naysayers and the people who like it to be like, there's already some setup, so you can just kind of get back into it. Like, there's an angle. And she'll get the singles win, presumably, that many crave.
Yeah, they are running back a lot of matches for this pay-per-view, which is totally fine. Like, I'm not mad about it at all. Yeah. Although, like, TK is, like, too online. So it wouldn't surprise me if it is a reaction to criticism. But it also wouldn't surprise me if it was, like, if Tony just wants to, like, make it clear that she can win. Because it's one of those things that I feel like lifelong, I won't say Ben, I'll say lifelong wrestling fans tend to care about stuff like that, and I tend to not at all care, but it's like, you know, sure. Yeah,
sure. Well, seems okay. Okay, so that was, then Chris and Darby were teaming up in the main event to fight Marina Shafir and Wheeler Yuta, and to Tony's credit, this is one of the few matches. I mean, I had a great time on the card, but there were many matches that if it was like, I'm here for an extra half hour and that's the main event, it would have been like, see you tomorrow. I have to go play Connections right now. But instead, this one I was like, yeah, I'm very eager to see this. And I was not disappointed. I had such a good time.
It was so good. I love that they're doing these tornado tag mix tags, like, because it works so well. And it just goes full intergender for a lot of it, which is, like, so exciting.
Yeah. The thing, like, when they do the ones where it's just, like, it's in the ring, and they, whenever a girl tags in, a guy has to immediately tag out. Like, it just feels so forced and structured and awful. And this just felt fluid and fun, and you didn't know what was going to happen next. And they did do intergender. Like, real, not just the women hitting the boys. It was, like, I think, like, Yuta, like, threw
Chris.
Yuta did a move on Chris.
Marina.
Yeah. Don't come at us. And then Chris, like, shocked Yuta by getting him on the chairs.
Yeah.
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 The thing about this match, too, is, like, it's extremely believable looking at them that Marina and Chris could beat up both those skinny little twins.
For sure.
You know? Yeah. Like,
for
it's sure. Like, who's stronger in this match? It's like, yeah, Chris is clearly the strongest. Yeah. Like, no problem at all.
And they had done some setup on Collision for this match where Marina and Yuta were in ring and Yuta got a mic and Yuta gave this promo about how he mentored, led, and guided Chris, and she repaid him by embarrassing him in front of the whole world. And it is like, it's so fun to me that I am just like, they're siblings. Like, 100% to me, they're siblings. They grew up together. They learned all these moves from their parents together. And then it's like, and then you're so mad at your sibling you're in a huge rivalry and you're like beating them up for fucking real was just like perfect. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. If you hadn't done this, that would be like offensive to me.
Yeah. This match did crack me up though, because like Yuta's vibe was like, I am your older brother and I taught you everything you know. And I was like, since when?
I know.
Chris I was did here like before that you.
Daniel said on commentary was like, I don't think that's right. No. He said that. I was like, thank you. Like, it was a real heel move for her baby brother to be like, I turned to you. Like, okay,
know.
Buddy.
I know. It is, wow, really rewriting the history of your entire life. I thought that Stat and Darby were actually really fun together. I don't know if we've ever seen them interact before.
I don't think so, but there was a moment where they were in the crowd and Darby turned to Chris and in the funniest little voice goes, Chris, get up there. And she knew exactly what he meant and went like running up to like do like a moonsault off like the top. But he just said it in such a little funny voice and I loved it.
They were also fun. They're throwing tons of chairs in the ring. Everyone was there. I think Chris and Marina slammed through a commentary table, I think. Like,
and the spot with Marina's bare feet on the tacks was like so visceral and unpleasant. That's worse. Yeah.
Okay. So I had the time of my life to do it again. And then match ended with Stat and Darby both hitting moves. They hit a 450 and a coffin drop on Yuta and pinned him for the win. And
because they blinded Marina, and then when Yuta got thrown into her, she thought it was Darby. So she,
I forgot him. They did that. Yeah, that was very fun. And then Toni Storm appeared and came down the ramp, and she and Chris had a face off that I found quite activating, where they both just like smiled at each other. And Toni had wrestled earlier in this little outfit that was just like, I've never seen the like, and I love it. It was a little, she was in pants and a little vest. And ooh la la. And they smiled at each other and then they just started brawling and they brawled their way out back. Meanwhile, in the ring, Darby had a belt. I guess it was his belt probably. Probably took his belt off and he was whipping Yuta with the belt. And that's fine to be doing. No problem with that. No. And then Pac came in and he was fully clothed on every part of his body and dry as a bean. And he came in, he kicked Darby down, and then he got a hold of the belt, and then he strapped the belt around Darby's throat, and then he's choking him out with the belt. He got him leashed and he's choking him out with the belt.
He kind of cupped his face at a certain point, and
Darby then, was drooling so grossly.
It was the most saliva I've ever seen.
Yeah. It was very like, do you have a condition? Like, how are you even producing this much saliva?
The condition is just extreme arousal, and it's not.
Just like having that belt around his mouth. Like,
let me just ask you.
Having the time of his life.
Let me ask you guys something about Pac's new look. Mm. What do you think his new aesthetic is? Like, I keep trying to stare at what he's got going on. It's like a baggy shirt and then like baggy pants, but like, are they like Dickies? Like, they're like a weird material. They're almost like work pants, I think. And I'm like, what? So you were a creature from the ocean and now you're like a guy who's stopping here before your work on a construction crew? Like, what's happening here?
I don't know. Every time I see him, I do just think about how we used to joke, like, whenever you'd see Pac in street clothes, he just looked like he worked in IT or something, all of a sudden, which was unsettling. And so every time I see him, I'm just like, well, the IT guy's back. Like, I don't know.
It is kind of like, it's like he's your IT guy who, like, you sometimes have these moments where you're like, I think he works out, like, a lot. Like, I think he works out a ton. But he's not, the clothes are not tight enough that you, like, always are seeing it. But then you, like, get him in profile and you're just like, huge muscles on Brad, huh? And he knows how to turn it off and back on again. Well, he's not without his merits. I just realized I've been staring at Pac being like, who is he making me think of these days? It's Abraham Lincoln.
What?
If you look at his face in the image I've included in the schedule, you will see
the mustache. Yeah,
the visage of striking. Abraham Lincoln before you. Yeah.
Put a top hat on him.
Put a top hat on him.
You got a Lincoln.
You got a Lincoln just right there. Can't nothing else for it. Anyway, he's got Darby on a leash. Mox strolls on in, and
this belt stuff and the throttling. It was a moment where it's like you get used to a lot in wrestling, and like we make a little japes, little jests, little sexual jokes. But you know, usually I'm still like, I know they didn't mean for it to look like that. This time I was like,
what else could you mean for it to look
quite
like?
Quite arresting, yeah.
There's nothing else you could mean for it to look like.
Children are in the crowd, but okay, let's go.
I've said in here at one point, not sure what BDSM term to use for what he was doing.
Yeah, just not experienced.
I'd love to educate myself, but anyway, Mox comes in, he bends down, is, you know, in front of Darby. He says, never say die, relentless Darby Allin. He looked like he was going to pop. He said, I don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But at WrestleDream, for the first time in your life, you are going to say the words, I quit. He looked incandescent. He could have danced all night. I'm shocked you didn't grab the belt yourself. I'm shocked that you managed to walk away from this situation without laying hands.
This is very like, Mox and Darby have done a lot of stuff together, but Mox has never gotten into a place where he said red in the stoplight system. But at WrestleDream, he will.
I will hear your safe word. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so we move on. Daniel Garcia got a promo on Collision about how being the best comes with a cost, and it's a cost he's willing to pay. Smash cut to poor Daddy Magic is having to do this promo that only many has for backup or Papa Gone. Kind of
so sad.
We're like the least supportive people in the world. Yeah. Did Jeff Parker come back? Like, I swear I saw him.
Gone again, I guess.
Gone again. Yeah.
Which is perplexing.
If I had if I were going through a really tough time, I lost my husband forever, apparently. Now I've lost my only child to, it's a bad crowd. He's doing drugs. And Papa Gone are there, and they're like, you want us to get on in there with you, champ? And while you do your promo, it's them or nothing. It's just like nothing. Immediately nothing. Do I want you with me in this deeply troubling time of trial? No, not for a second.
Not feeling comforted by Kyle O'Reilly.
No. Really going to make any emotional situation worse, pretty much.
Like, realism would be Daddy Magic in the middle of yelling, like, what happened to my child? Why won't you return my calls? Like, what's going on with you? Would be him just stopping, turning around, and saying, Kyle, take two steps back. I don't want you this close to me right now. So he's really sad. So then Daniel Garcia, Claudio, and Mox go on to fight Daddy Magic, Kyle, and Roddy. Long story short, Danny murders Daddy Magic.
Match absolutely broke me, because it started with Matt getting into the ring and looking at Danny and being like, face me, look me in the eyes, tell me you remember I taught you to ride a bike. And Danny Garcia couldn't make eye contact, and he immediately immediately ducked under the rope and like went to tagged in Claudio because he couldn't face him. And then Matt Menard did such a good job where he was fighting the whole time just to get to Danny, and then he finally got his hands on Danny and Danny hurt him.
He just
wanted to save his boy. He just says, like, this isn't, I know your heart. This isn't you. And Danny Garcia said, I don't have a heart anymore.
It's like, Danny, you're all I have left.
Oh, no. he really don't got anything.
He don't got nothing.
No. Oh, geez.
He don't even have Jericho.
Oh, no. Leah. None of us have Jericho.
It's not good out there. It's not safe out there.
It's really hard, really rough out there. All right. Well,
you put sharper than a serpent's tooth in here. Have I told you that my dad, when I was a kid, that was the number one thing he said to us was sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child, which like I thought was like a pretty common expression, and it turns out it's not. No.
But look, just as with Constantine, common between us.
That's right.
These red strings of fate that tie us together, girls. We, the only three girls in the world who've ever cried to Constantine.
And we found each other through all the hordes of people who Never heard it.
No. Oh, so sickening. My God. Anyway, okay, let's move on. The Ops and Hangman had a collision segment where Hangman, kind of unprompted in the moment, is like, hey, Will Hobbs, Samojo, I owe you guys my life. I could never become champion without you. I know that. I will never forget it. Shibata is out injured. Like, I am your guy. You need a third? I'm your guy. With pleasure. Samoa Joe is like, He moves into this promo that I just didn't see coming. So every moment of it was like, what is happening here? He is like, I guess he's talking to the Death Riders. And he's being like, you guys are so out of control. And in September, it's only September. It is so very early in the school year. I guess it's October. And I already feel like a failure as a teacher. As a what? What do you mean? Hangman's in the background going, no. Like, just shaking his head, like, genuinely being like, don't you ever say that about yourself. You are an amazing teacher. Says, you see, I hired some new faculty. I have a new equestrian coach who's going to run you down in that field and beat your ass. I got a new PE instructor. That's Hangman. I got a new PE instructor. That's Will Hobbs. Who's going to run you down in the open field and crush you. Lots of stuff happening in the field at the school.
And the school has horses, I guess. They've got an equestrian coach. Wow.
School has everything.
Quite a little prep school in New England, I guess.
I guess. More importantly, boys, I have a whole new curriculum of pain that I will introduce to you. I've got questions so fast. Like, it's just like, at the beginning of this, you were a teacher. But now you're hiring equestrian coaches and PE instructors.
He's at least the principal. He's got hiring, firing powers. Okay.
Is Christopher Daniels above or below your level in the reporting structure?
Such a good question. We had no idea Samojo was in the administration at all.
I love to learn. So he's pretty fixated on the school, on this school stuff, I guess. After Dynamite. So they've got this match. It's Mox, Claudio, and Danny Garcia, who seem to have been in like every match that I've recounted in this schedule. Mox, Claudio, Daniel Garcia versus Will Hobbs, Samojo, and Hangman. I think this was a normal and fun match. Can I ask Danny's little longer shorts? Are those new?
I think so.
They're so cute too,
and he's doing the like hoodie over the head. He's a little more covered up now that he's bad, which is interesting.
Kind of Hook style. Just get something over there. I think the new shorts are cute. Anyway, totally normal match. Afterwards, they win. Afterwards, Bryce has all the belts. Everyone brought their belts to the ring, and so he hands the belts back to Hangman, and Hangman is like hall monitor for the day at Samoa Joe's School of Pain. So he gives Will Hobbs his belt, and then he gives Samoa Joe his belt and immediately turns away with his own belt to be like, we won. And Samoa Joe, I see as just as much, I mean, probably the biggest problem in this exchange, doesn't even try to grab his belt. He just stands there like, how dare you hit me with my belt? It's a school, and he's a hall monitor. It's his job today to give you the belt.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's your job to accept the belt. Oh, but the belt hits the ground. And as Hangman attempts to, you know, celebrate the win, Samoa Joe has entered rage mode. I can't believe I've been disrespected in this way. And he's having a quick back and forth with Will Hobbs, who's clearly being like, let's maybe just not. I don't think it's a big deal. It's kind of, to me, this is seeming okay. But instead, Samoa Joe confronts Hangman. How dare you? How dare you smack me with my belt? And you don't respect me. You don't respect me and my belt. And Hangman looks confused, as he should. as he certainly should. And I guess somewhere backstage, someone quickly consults the decision tree and says, send out security now. And so security floods the ring and separates them. And Samojo is only getting more activated by security, I would say.
And security's being very, like, they're being to Hangman, like, it's cool, it's cool, it's cool. Like, just, it's very cool. You're not upset, we're not upset. Like, they're doing a lot of, like, soothing, hoarse hand motions, which I thought was funny.
It was, like, kind of, and it was, they were, like, on both of them, and it was, like, no offense, but you should all be on Samoa Joe. Like, Hangman also is just looking like, what do you mean? Like, what is happening here? And so Samoa Joe gets dragged backstage by, I think, security's there, and Will Hobbs is dragging him. And he just starts yelling. And I can't believe, we didn't think this is, I don't know. He just starts yelling, "I'll fuck your ass. I'll fuck your ass."
And I, like, you were a little bit ahead, so you heard it first. And then I was like, I'm sure she's crazy. And then I threaded it
like it was a spoiler. Like, I had to type at the moment that oh, no, I didn't. I guess I didn't thread that one. But I was like, I knew I was ahead. But it was like, guys,
I'm glad you did, because I started listening, and then I heard it. And then I went on Twitter, and I was like, did anybody else hear this? And people, so I do think he said it. I don't know what he was trying to say. I'll beat your ass, I guess.
I think someone...
I rewatched it tonight because I missed it, because I was just distracted, like, looking at something else, and then I looked up and they were attacking each other. I was like, wait, what? what happened here? So I rewatched that section just tonight before the podcast, and they bleep some stuff, like, early in Samoa Joe's, and I was like, oh, I guess on the replay they, like, bleep the fuck your ass part. But then... No, they didn't. It hit that later, and he definitely said it unbleeped. A very normal thing to say.
So crazy. I think someone in one of our spaces suggested that he was trying to say, "I'll fuck your ass up," but he just lost the last word. And I was like, that sounds the most right, I guess.
I'll eat your ass alive. I don't know.
I wouldn't be screaming that personally.
No.
Certainly not about what happened. Nope. I'll fuck your ass because you just gave me a belt. Whatever. And so then we leave the scene. We get two backstage segments. One is Hangman with Renee, and Hangman's just like, girl, we're all confused. Like, I don't think any of us know what's going on here. I just got really mad. I don't really know why. I guess you're mad that you've never beaten me or something. Is that what he said? I don't know. Maybe that's what he said. And that sounds like a you problem, but sure, I'll fight you at Wrestle Dream. And he said, oh yeah, Smojo's saying, is that what it's going to be between us? You're going to treat me like shit? So crazy. Anyway, so he says, I look up to you, I respect you, you throw another fit like that at me, I'll ruin your life. Pretty sexy, actually. Joe also then got a backstage promo later where he said, I'm Samoa Joe, a man you have never beaten in the ring. I am Samoa Joe, and on any day that you've ever existed, you have never been greater than me. Hangman, oh, this is cowboy shit, and unfortunately you're standing in front of Samoa Joe, and allow me to welcome you to a world of deep shit. Now, thoughts on... So they're going to fight at Wrestle Dream. So we had to set up... You know, clearly it's like they got to fight. Hangman has to fight someone. We need to be a good opponent. It's going to be Samoa Joe. We got to set something up fast.
Yeah.
I accept all of these external conditions causing this to happen. Mm-hmm. All that being said, what do you think of it?
To me, it's not what I would personally do, but it's kind of like... The feud is about masculinity. On one side, you have a pretty normal, like, regular person who, you know, sometimes his emotions get big and he has to yell. But for the most part, he's pretty level-headed. I mean, now that he's, you know, a face again. And then you've got the typical toxic masculinity flies off the handle.
So true.
Really concerned with being disrespected, aggressive. I'm like, and I hope that... Hangman winning this feud will teach a lesson to our men.
I know it won't. I know that no one is going to learn one damn thing from this. I'll say that.
No, they'll just keep telling us how cool Samoa Joe is.
So cool.
Which I mean, this is like fine to me because it's like he needs an opponent. Like Wrestle Dream always kind of sucks. Like, what do I care? And like, in a way, like, I feel like we've talked in the past where it's like, it'd be funny to have feuds where like someone does like, a pointless disrespectful thing like walks in the way of the promo and that's like the start of the feud, and so that's kind of funny. Like, it works for what it is. I've just really given up on getting anything real juicy out of Samoa Joe.
In the best charity with him that I've ever been in, where instead of being annoyed to see him, I'm like, he's fine.
I think it's
like, I don't feel like angry about it, but then sometimes I do get angry when I'm like, I actually don't even really know how to explain it. Like, it is like the toxic masculinity element of it. That's just like, yeah, this is a man who, like, it literally this weekend, you have this promo where you decide to do this match together. And Hangman's like, I couldn't respect you more. I'm so appreciative. I know that all that I have comes from you. And that all you have to do is you didn't accept one belt and you'd like lose your head and you're screaming, I'll fuck your ass. Like on some level, I have like kind of an unfair to wrestling, like aggressive reaction to it myself where I'm just like, that's fucked up. I don't want to, I don't like that. I don't like that. Like I feel, and it's like, fine. It's, you know, it's like, I'm not mad. The match will be good. Like it is what it is. But like, I keep surprising myself by being like, oh, I feel like I have a sensitive feeling about like this level of aggression from that level of like transgression between two people who have this history of like the past 4 months have been teaming up together where I'm just like, oh, he's a very bad man. Yeah. That's really, that's something that a really bad man does.
I know. And I don't think he's the heel. And I think he's a baby face, which is kind of crazy. Like, I do feel like when Leo was just like, it's about toxic masculinity. It's like, oh yeah, it is. Like it hadn't occurred to me.
Yeah.
And it would be a better feud if they kind of leaned into that heavier and then toxic masculinity got defeated. Like that could be satisfying, but you do worry in wrestling that people don't notice toxic masculinity or think it's bad. So
I don't know. And I think it's just something I was thinking about it where I was like, what's like the very first wrestling feud we ever watched was Orange Cassidy and Jericho. And that was because Orange Cassidy like walked through Jericho's shot. And that's like, I didn't object to that. But then also it's just like, yeah, because like Jericho is like the character is that he's a blowhard and that he's like, you know, it's like diva on set.
Yeah.
Right.
But that something about this is just like, I really am not mad. And I'm not even like, I don't really feel that much about Samoa Joe. So it's like, it's fine. But I think on some level, it just like kind of like jolted me out of the world of wrestling and into the world of like, God, sorry, men can be so scary.
Yeah. Well, and it is like in that OC Jericho feud, it's like Jericho was the heel and you could see that that was heel behavior and it was played up to be funny. Whereas this is not, this is like, it feels much more like Samoa Joe's a tough guy that we're supposed to admire a little bit, which is,
And it's fine. I feel like, I don't know. Sometimes when you're doing a little podcast, you're just like, oh God, then everyone's going to say I was sensitive about it. Don't put in the newspaper that I was sensitive about it. But I feel fine. It's just intellectually, this is how it feels to me. But you know, it is whatever. And, I did have a thought about it though, where I was like, because there was a conversation in our like Discord channel about Samoa Joe's character and whether he has like character continuity, like, or like whether he just doesn't. And that's why, you know, he'll just do one thing one week and one thing the next week. And I was thinking about like characters having like really extreme rage reactions in wrestling. And you know the Bucks were doing that thing where like Matt would be like, "Don't, oh, my brother's just a bit of a hothead," but they were doing it in a kind of like a put, you know, it was like a smarmy kind of way. Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever done a character where it's like someone who is constantly like popping off way too much? And then when you talk to them like an hour later backstage, they're like, I was crazy out there, right? Like, dude, I always do this. Like, I don't know what comes over me. I just lose it. Like, and I was like, that would be kind of funny.
That would be actually. That would be funny. Really fun.
Eddie Kingston could do that pretty
good. Yeah, he does like a more like normal version of it because he's very good at being like, yeah, that wasn't Eddie on his best behavior, was it? Eddie lost a little bit, but I don't know. Maybe even suggesting that, I'm like, am I playing into toxic masculinity? No.
No, because that would be funny. It'd be like a joke, you know?
So. Yeah. And it couldn't be that serious. Like, it would have to be, like, pretty dumb stuff. And then, you know, you couldn't feel threatened by it. But it would be funny for someone to just, like, have a really good attitude an hour later and be like, dude, that was whack of me.
Yeah. Like, if Samoa Joe reacted like that in the ring, and then when Renee interviewed him backstage, she's like, I don't know, Renee. Like, I just flew off the handle. I know it was crazy. Like, I don't know why it struck me that way. I'm so sorry. And then if he never learned from it and he kept doing it, I mean, that would be pretty funny.
That would be character continuity. All right. Okay. Any other thoughts on this? Onwards. The Young Bucks kicked off Dynamite with a segment where Nick gambled away all the rest of their money.
While Matt was trying to secure a cool entrance for them. And he was like, you told me to spend money, so I'm going to go spend money. And then he came back and Nick was like, no money.
No money. He reached into the bag, no money in the bag.
No money.
And then you just got the shot of him just looking at Nick like, I've never been this mad at you. And then they cut to them doing the same exact pose in the, were they in the ring already? Or yeah, they were on so. the, yeah.
Yeah, no entrance.
So funny.
It was so funny to open the show with a little skit. Like, yeah. I got a big kick out of it.
I loved it.
Yeah. So they were teaming up with Josh Alexander to fight a newly returned and very peppy Kenny, who was teaming up with Bernito.
I was really, really glad that they didn't try to make Josh Alexander a middleman, because that would have been humiliating for all of us. Like, like that would have been...
It degrades the office. Yeah, the office.
The office of the middleman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see that. No. Yeah.
You've got to respect the office, you know, even if you don't respect the person.
That would be... It would be, very funny if Don Callis started, like, pitching his men as middlemen and being like, boys, I was wondering if you maybe wanted a new middleman. I've got all these men to choose from. And the Bucks' vibe is just like, we're actually, like, pretty picky. Like, no, we're not just going to let any of your men be our middleman.
It's like they've got to court us. I mean, come on.
Let's get some gifts. Let's get some money in the mix.
We're not easy.
So Don Callis was on commentary, seeming a little scared to be that close to Kenny. This was a very fun match. Kenny, very eager to murder Matt, as always. When he's not in a good mood with the Bucks and they get in the ring together, it's like minute one. He's like, Matthew, come here.
He's always going over Matt, going after die. Matt so much harder and so much more brutal than Nick. And I'm like, that's you've got mother issues.
That's your mommy. Yeah.
That's your mommy. And
you
got
get
issues.
Mad at your mom because you're too scared to get mad at your dad. Yeah.
Ooh, wow. A lot to unpack there. Kenny, oh, no, that's not right. Okay, yeah, fighting. Oh, Allie, what on earth is this description? Kenny wanted to get spanked for the anniversary. All I noticed is that, and I guess I was on Fight, so you guys were watching on Max, and you were in commercial during this, apparently.
Yeah,
I think it was a normal move that the Bucks have been doing, where, like, one man is, like, over the ropes and then they do like a double, like they're jumping on him and all sorts of stuff, but somehow Kenny did it in a way that was like, I've never seen it so butt forward before, Kenny. I've like never seen the butt be so prominently there. Like, it's like, what are you gonna do about it? And I liked it. I appreciated it. Kenny pinned Josh Alexander for the win. Brodito immediately cleared out, and then Kenny, Nick, and Matt were alone in the ring, and they all kind of looked like they had things to say, that they were contemplating whether or not they were going to say them, you know? And so, of course, it was the perfect moment for Josh Alexander to return.
Oh, my God.
This guy.
I'll kill him.
I could not. Literally, I just immediately said, like, I'm trying to negotiate a family reunification here. I can't have Josh Alexander showing up. So he jumps in. He beats up. He starts beating on Kenny. The Bucks vibe is like, Josh, Josh, if anyone's going to beat up Kenny, it would be us.
Yeah.
Right. Matt's like, it would be me, his mother. Right.
Don't touch him. That's my job.
Yes. But so so it's like a little bit of like, okay, it's interesting when it's like you have so much history that it's kind of like, you know, they don't quite know what to do in this situation. They get interrupted by the return of Jurassic Express, who come out. Everyone's singing Tarzan Boy, it's so sweet, and Jack Perry looks so happy, and he's just my little baby. And they come down to the ring, JB and Lucha. They come down to the ring. They attack the Bucks, and they drive off Josh Alexander, which you would think that Kenny would be like, thank you. But instead, Kenny immediately is like, you.
And JB. I remember when you helped kill me on that stretcher.
I know. But it was kind of like, Kenny, you've tried to kill Jack many times. Like, you were actually really rude to him, and like, you did some stuff to him in the ring that could not have been less appropriate.
It was deep. Like, that was age gap stuff, Kenny. We all saw it.
Wow. Problematic.
She's a problem. Yeah. So he's mad at JB. They're kind of fighting. JB, I think, just kind of loses interest. Like, the Bucks, I guess, are trying to get like involved again or something. So he's like, well, I got a good deal with that. So he and Lucha drive the Bucks. They jump out the ring and they drive the Bucks backstage. Kenny's still in the ring. The lights go off. I think, is that what's happening? Oh, no, he goes on the mic. He goes on the mic first. Kenny gets his hands on a live mic. Whoo. And
I feel like it was so appropriate for Kenny to give a little speech for the six-year anniversary and stuff. Absolutely. I do feel like every time he comes back, I'm watching Tony Khan trying to win Kenny back. Like, Kenny, here's a live mic. Kenny, you can do whatever match you want. Kenny, like, I'll give you pyro. Kenny, what kind of entrance do you want?
Yeah. I really... He hasn't found the lever yet, mm-mm, as far as I can tell, because I just see their relationship. I'm like, Kenny has all the power. I know he does. I was like, the vibes that Kenny had, just because he was in this match with the Bucks, which also was like really appropriate, but it's like he's been in all these matches with, you know, it's like he's like clearly is like, I like him. I want to fight with him. Like, I just keep imagining that, like, Tony's coming to Kenny's dressing room backstage and being like, hi there, Kenny. I just was wondering, so happy to have you here. I was just really wondering if you'd be willing to fight a little match with, and then Kenny's just like, my friends. And Tony's like, well, I had a little suggestion. Kenny's like, a match with my friends.
And then I'm going back to Japan for 2 months, Tony.
And Tony's like, and he's like really trying to get, like, he's like, just be stern with him, just be strong. And Kenny's looking at him, and if Kenny were looking at me with like a mean look, it would just be like, okay, thank you, Mr. Omega, that sounds really good. And then Kenny
you
says,
come back whenever you feel like it, it's fine, you can do anything you want.
Kenny,
sir,
just nods. He says, you can go now.
Dismissed.
Well, you know what, Tony? You live to fight another day. You try another day. You pull another lever. You don't seem to have found, like, any of them, but try one. Kenny gives a little speech, says, it's been 6 years. I've been here since day one. I've seen the highest of the highest and the lowest of the lowest. So true, Mr. Bite on his arm. but sometimes it doesn't matter how pleasant the journey is, because what you can take solace in, what you can take pride in, is the journey itself. Something about this was so enchantingly puritanical to me. Like, I don't know, I just felt like he was there being like, it's the Pilgrim's Progress.
I know, his tone was like very stern throughout, and I think it was just because like he'd just come off a match and so he was a little breathless, but like he kept saying things that were very nice but in a very aggressive tone where it's like, and you fans, if you've been here the whole time or just got here, you're welcome, I guess. Like, okay.
Yeah, it was very strange for him to be shouting. I guess the real treasure was the friends we made along the way, except he was kind of, like, angry about it.
Oh, okay, yeah. And that's a good thing? Just checking, Kenny.
There's this sketch where Steve Carell and Stephen Colbert, they were both on, like, the Dana Carvey show in the 90s, but they had this sketch that's Germans who say nice things, where it's just people in a German accent yelling, like, it was a pleasure babysitting Kevin! So, that was the vibe.
It really was. Oh God, Kenny, there is no one else like you. And then it's like, of course, he's like, well, but we are unfortunately on a live show, so I will have to bid you adieu. And it's just like, Kenny, you don't have to do it every time. I know people do. I guess people want him to, but it's the silliest thing in wrestling to me. Like, with all the love in the world, when Kenny's like, time to say adieu, bang bang, time to do my guns at them,
and good night, nurse. Oh, Kenny.
You're not making him like you. But just as he completed his signature goodbye, the lights went out and a man appeared in the ring. A bemasked man appeared in the ring behind Kenny, and he removed the mask and it was Andrade.
For a second here, I thought it was Jericho when he was masked, and I got so hyped, and then it was Andrade, and I was like, really?
Oh my God. It's so funny.
Honestly. He's tossing his hair around.
And which I will say for him, I feel very complicated about him coming back, but the fact that he grew his hair out and he's flipping it around like a model, like, I am sort of into that. Like, the way he just keeps, like, but licking it was really getting to me.
And he was kind of standing very like, look at my muscles, look at my muscles and my hair.
Yeah.
If he wants to come back in girl mode, of course I'll.
Full time.
I'll
full girl mode.
I'm worried. We don't have enough men in girl mode right now, to be honest. We have a shortage. So if you're willing to step up, like, I'm happy to have you. And honestly, I think you guys were disappointed. My immediate reaction was like, I love Miss. And I did love watching Andrade wrestle, like, back before he left. And he had some, like, really, I don't remember, what was that match that he was in? Like, it was, like, right before Cody left. He was in that match with, like, Cody, Malachi, and Pac. And I think Andrade was the one who, like, wouldn't, there was something weird going on between him and Cody where he, like, wouldn't tag Cody in or something. I don't know why I'm making this up. All.
That's impressive.
I don't know.
No, it probably
it's probably wrong.
There's that time he tried to buy Darby from Sting, of course.
And he really cemented himself. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, I know he can entertain. He said the funniest thing that you could ever say, where he was just like, how much for your little boy? Like, it was crazy. Like, to Darby. Like, I don't know. Anyway, so it's like, do I know if it's a good idea to have him back? No, not at all. But I'm kind of at my leisure. And Don Callis immediately, he beats O'Kenny. And Don Callis jumps in and is like, this one's mine. I brought this guy back and he is joining my big old happy family.
Yeah. Like, I didn't feel enthused about him coming back at all. Although it's kind of like, well, Tony, you're an adult. I guess you can do what you want. But so I'm not going to. But I do feel like him and the Don Callis family is like a pretty good place for him. Like, if he wants to be boy number 10 in Don Callis' family, like, who am I to stop him?
Seems we fine. Need. We They desperately need more boys. So
they need so many boys. Yeah. They need
so many boys. They're running through boys at a tremendous. When you think of the number of boys who have already like entered and kind of exited the Don Callis, who are just like nebulously maybe recuperating at the Don Callis mansion, but we don't really know because they never get mentioned. Because if a boy is off TV with the Don Callis family, it's like he doesn't exist.
Yeah. He never existed. Yeah.
Yep. Don Callis.
I know. They brought out all his boys and it was so comical. There were many of them. And you're thinking there's at least four more boys back there.
You have so many extra boys.
We're counting the boys. Where's Brian Cage? Where's Trent Beretta?
Mark Davis. Reluctant.
Oh my God. Yeah. Right. Well, hold that thought of the number of boys and the boys who are and aren't there, because let's get to another little Don Callis family segment, then we'll get back into this. So Hologram had a promo on Collision where he was like standing pretty normal, and then everything went like alarmingly red around him, and his code came up and it said code corrupted, and then he seized up, I think, and like fell to the floor, and it was like red, black, corrupted code. Oh God, what are we gonna do? What's happening to Hologram? This is the thing, is I'm like,
not
I know
that this faction cares about it, but yeah.
No, there no one gave a shit. The Papa God are overstanding with Matt Menard.
Yeah, they got a lot on their plate right now in terms of people to emotionally reassure.
Oh my God. It's like, this could all have been prevented. Like, what if you had like gotten Pac the IT tech to come look at his code? Like,
that's so true. I didn't even think about that.
We have resources.
Did we even take him down to the IT department where Pac could run some diagnostics?
No.
Lord.
I do think it's like funny. I don't know. Like, this whole concept is kind of funny to me because it's like his code is corrupted. I'm like, then Hologram and the clone are the same, I think. Like, it's like one, like, stop telling me it's two different men. Like, it's one man is what you, if you're talking about it this way, do you know what I mean?
I don't really know I haven't been following the logic of the code to the clone situation. So
You're like, I
can't speak to it.
Anne's face right now looking at me, she's just like, I don't know the science. I don't know what's going on with it. I don't know how Hologram works. Well, none of us do. Okay, fine. Anyway, so later in the show, this on Collision, Kyle Fletcher, I think, murdered Commander. I think that's right. And then cut a promo where he was like, oh, Hologram, you're so scared of me that you are running away and you can't fight the match. I found it a little unclear, actually. Like, what do you know? Like, what? Although I guess maybe actually now I'm kind of, well, no, I don't know. Anyway, unclear. So he's like, somebody else is going to have to fight me on Dynamite, I guess. And Hologram is shoot injured, I believe, from the match last week.
Yeah.
So OC agreed to step in for Hologram. So OC and Kyle Fletcher had a fight on Dynamite. And you know, it's good good to have the guy back. Am I right? Pretty good to have that guy.
It was one of those matches where I was like, yeah, that's why I like him.
Yeah. When he's just
nasty boy.
Lying face down on the mat, panting, his face red, looking dazed into the distance, like he's feeling too intense for his body.
No one does. There's something that he does that nobody else does. Yeah.
It's mesmerizing.
Everything to me. And he did some funny stuff too. He's funny and he's fun and he's great to watch in the ring, and he really got ragdolled quite a bit, which is you love to see.
That's all he wants in this whole world.
It's all he wants. It's all we want. It's a perfect meeting of the mind. It's what Kyle Fletcher wanted. It's what everybody wants.
We tune into wrestling to see a twink get destroyed sexually. Yeah. And that's what we saw.
And you don't see it as often as you want to, honestly.
No, you really don't. Yeah.
So that was great, and I got really kind of sad in the middle because it was 6-year anniversary, and I was just like, I miss best friends in OC. I miss my friends.
Yeah. Him coming back has really made me be like, we have been missing so many people that we used to see all the time, and it's in 6 years, like, a lot of people like get injured and retire and all this stuff, but it's like, I don't like the passage of time. I want it to be the same like it was.
I say, Siri, play Landslide, and Siri is like, are you sure you want me to do that? You asked me to play Landslide a lot. A little too often.
The 6-year anniversary video to Landslide.
I'd barf. I'd puke. Yeah. I'll do that one next, shall I?
There you go.
Okay, and so fighting. Kyle distracts the ref. Don Callis jumps up on the apron, and you think that he's going to do something. Hologram runs out to help OC because they're in the conglomeration together, but then instead he knocks him off the top rope.
So he hit his little dick.
So he hit his little dick.
And he was debilitated by that.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be out for months.
He needs that for the kind of wrestling he does.
So, why would Hologram do such a thing? Don Callis, Fletcher and Hologram are standing there on the ramp. Don Callis leaves, returns with the rest of the Don Callis family. Hologram throws off his blue and green ring jacket and mask to reveal that he isn't Hologram at all. Instead, he is clad in red and black. I'm reading from the AEW.com recap. He is clad in red and black, apparently revealing himself to be El Clon. Seemingly the one that's been sending ominously threatening messages for weeks. Again, this is where I don't understand it. I'm like, doesn't seem like messages to me. Seems like the code is mutating. And Hologram and El Clon are the same. Mm-hmm. He's AI. He's a robot. And he's been programmed for evil now.
We have some ethical issues to untangle here. Like, are they two people? Are they two consciousnesses?
Everybody's telling me that. I feel like the show acts like it's a foregone conclusion. Of course you understand they're two physical bodies. No, I don't. I don't understand that from what you've shown me. I believe they share a body.
Yeah.
And it is the mind that has been corrupted.
And I know that Hologram was supposed to feud with him, but it's even funnier now that he's hurt because it is just like, well, you've taken his body. He's not here and you're here. So you took his body. And
so in order for them to fight.
So it's a severance situation.
Yes. Oh, yes.
But then in order for them to fight, what if we have a special episode where we go into the mind of Hologram and Hologram is in his own mind fighting for control and they wrestle in the mind.
And then what if the whole show takes place in the mind and everyone else has to also wrestle in the mind? So Kyle O'Reilly, Papa Gon, they get in there. Poor Hologram.
Oh, I think I might have been describing the plot of Being John Malkovich, but I haven't seen it for a long time, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think I haven't seen it since it came out, and I saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
It was a really weird night when I saw it, I feel like.
Strange film. Strange film. So, El Clon is aligned with the Callis family.
As all men should be.
As all men should be. As all men must be.
You have to fill out some paperwork to not be in the Don Callis family when you join.
At this point, there's a draft. Mm. It's like, and So there's an online promo afterwards that's just Don Callis wrangling his boys. He's just got a bunch of big old ratty boys, and he's being like, everyone in. Let's get a nice shot. Cameraman, we get a nice shot. We're having a nice day backstage. We're an amazing family, and there's so much yet to come for us. Everybody smile. Everybody smile for Jeff.
They all looked so big and beefy, too. Like, it was the beefiest. Huge. I don't know. Like, because it's like, not all of them are, but... somehow as an aggregate.
they all, I mean, it looks big. It looks big in there. Yeah. It's so.
Andrade standing tits out.
Tits like, yeah. out. Like, he's like, let's make sure they see this body. I want them to be so happy I'm back.
Don really values this.
And then I guess they all went home to the Don Callis mansion, and God knows what the living conditions are like there now.
Do you think the first thing they have to do, like El Clone and Andrade, like they just had to build a bunk bed themselves? Like that's
oh my god,
one.
Absolutely yes.
Don's like, here's the lumber.
Absolutely.
Get to work.
Oh, yes. I was picturing him like throwing down an IKEA box, and they're like, they have to sit down and build the bunk bed.
If it were IKEA, I think the first thing you have to do, it would be like you and your new buddy Andrade and El Clone go to IKEA together.
Yeah,
I want you to have a successful trip to IKEA. I want you to agree on a set of bunk beds. I want you to procure them. I want you to bring them home without having a fight, without getting any meatballs all over your shirt.
it's a huge challenge, both those things. IKEA, of course, being the Swedish word for fight.
Oh, they go on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, really take it up a notch. Yeah. Yes, go wide with it. Yeah. And then they have to decide who gets the top bunk and who gets the bottom bunk, you know. Mm-hmm.
This is Don Callis's very special. Okay, actually, now I am kind of like, okay, yeah, the bunk beds are the get-along shirts. And Don Callis is constantly, it's like he's assigning you, like, a bunk bed mate.
Yep.
And then sometimes, though, you'll just come in and there'll be, like, a little, like, see me on your bunk bed. And he will have, like, mixed up the assignments. And then so you know, like, he wants something to happen with me and one of these other guys. Like, we've got to learn to get along better, or he's trying to pit us against each other. Okada and Takeshita absolutely bunk bed mates right now.
Oh yeah.
And they cannot agree on which of them wants to be on the top bunk, bottom bunk.
No. And they had to set up like a timeshare situation, and one of them suggested like one night I'll be on the bottom and the next night you can. And then, but the other one like wouldn't have it. And so now they have to wake up in the middle of the night every 2 hours to switch, to be fair.
I mean, I know why it happened, but I just imagine like Don Callis with like a little twinkle in his eye being like, you could always share the bed.
I mean, he's trying to get breeding done. So, you know, he's like, some more of you could get pregnant. That would be helpful, actually.
Simply not seeing enough pregnancies around here. I've created all the conditions. I'm sending you to IKEA. I'm giving you bunk beds. I don't know what more you want.
He might be getting them the kind of bunk beds, too, you know, where it's like a full bed on the bottom and then like a twin size on top, you know, so you can both fit in the bottom. If you figure that out.
Don, you are really running an operation over there. Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess we didn't bring it up earlier, but we got a backstage-ass promo from...
Speaking of pregnancy.
From the original pregnancy today. what'd you guys think of finally getting some proof of life from Trent?
Trent and Rocky facing down the Costco guys, and it was so funny. Trent is the funniest man on earth.
And Greg broke arm.
Greg broke arm. Yeah, of course Greg broke arm. I don't know why I didn't just assume Greg broke. I mean, I guess I did. I was like, Greg hurt himself. Greg did something to himself.
Arm breaking was a little startling, though. Other than that, I was also like, maybe his arm muscle just like came off the bone, which it seems like his muscles love to do.
These guys are getting baked like barbecue, I guess. Like, they're always sliding off the neck. it can't be anything that crazy, though, because, well, actually, what show were they saying they want to fight? The costume guys want to fight them. Okay, so it could be crazy. So. Yeah, okay, yeah. So, well, not crazy, but
and
normal
he's been
break.
Gone. For like what, a couple months?
Oh, Greg, Jesus Christ!
Yeah, so
9 months.
By the time we hit full gear, that's and then he bring the baby out like Simba. Show us the first Don Callis baby.
Satisfied. Now I am like checking Cage Match, like when was he last on TV?
It is funny that what Don Callis is always, I mean, I think now has actually like basically intimated is that the men of the Don Callis family have been bred for the Don Callis family, and it's like they're old, they're full grown men. When did this breeding program start?
How old. Dare you? Kyle's 26.
He's 46. We figured out last week. Okay, I don't know what we're talking about. Oh yeah, we saw Greg. He has a beautiful little pink cast on. He's an angel. To see in one a span of 24 hours, to see beautiful Greggy, Yuta, Chris, Orange Cassidy,
Ty Mello.
Mm-hmm. I guess we're just missing one very special man who will never be seen by us again. But Dustin, if you're out there. Oh,
Dustin, please come back. Little Greggy's coming back. Please, like, he's going to come out too. There you were in the 6-year anniversary footage.
He was. And actually I didn't realize until I was recutting it with Constantine, I didn't fully appreciate that they used Dustin's death, the death footage.
Yeah,
the important Fridge girlfriend footage.
Yeah. OC's little tragic face looking at his dead wife. Yeah.
Sad. Okay. We also had a backstage segment where Alicia Toot interviewed Callis, Takesha, and Okada about the new additions to the family, their little twin enfants, El Clone and Andrade. And Don Callis was like, yeah, love my new boys. Brodito, so rude, and we're going to kill them. And these two beautiful boys right here, Okada and Takeshita, are going to kill them together. And Takeshita said, I'm sorry, what, Papa? I'll do what?
He said, wait, me and him? And Okada so proudly said, yeah.
Yeah.
It me.
Okada, the face of a man who's like, we're literally bunk bedmates, so I think we're gonna fight the match together.
What do you think was gonna happen?
Well, I'm obsessed with Okada's vibe because it was like Okada's like, I'm not gonna get free of him, so I am just gonna like bully him, but like in a way he can't, like on a plane he will never be able to match me on. Like Okada's doing Jedi tricks that Takesh is not prepared for.
In a way, he's doing a Max Caster. He's stuck with me, and I will be enjoying that.
And I will be enjoying that. Well, Anne, thank you for my transition. Let's move on. Max Caster and Anthony Bowens are officially starring in a comedy of remarriage. The best kind of comedy and the best kind of marriage.
You can't beat it.
You know what? And I guess we have seen them in wrestling before, because obviously people get back together, like, you know, tag teams get back together, but we've really never seen it quite like this. Like, you've never seen a full, like, this is a His Girl Friday. Yeah. Okay.
This is fully His Girl Friday, because it's like much more, like, Luchasaurus and JB just got back together, but it's not a comedy, it's an emotionally moving reconciliation.
And you know,
we didn't
really get to see JB and Luchasaurus talk it out, or how like they came back together. They were just, it was, you know, it had happened, you know.
Cope and Christian, like a little bit, but they don't realize that that's what they should be doing, so they don't lean into it as hard as they need to.
Do you think that any other wrestling podcast would be like, Cope and Christian should take some cues from Max Caster and Anthony Bowens?
No, but we're right.
No one has these spicy red hot takes like we do. But I think you are right. It's like we haven't ever seen it happen in this comedy way before, where it's like just the fact that they have a match together. Anthony Bowens comes out, has his entrance, comes out. He's holding up a plaque. I'm like, what is this? He's like, it's his world record plaque. What is the record? Like, I truly didn't follow. Maybe I missed when he explained what his beautiful plaque is. Like, I'm great at going to red carpets.
I think he might have gotten it at one of his red carpet Pride of Pro Wrestling events.
Okay. Official Pride of Pro Wrestling. Okay. He's in the middle of his entrance. Max Caster's music cuts him off. Anthony Bowens is stink-eyeing. He's just like, it's like some part of him was like, maybe he just won't show up. Maybe he just won't even come. Yeah. Like, that would be amazing.
His song now is like kind of like a midi, like a 90s video game music version of the Acclaim theme, kind of. Like, I loved it. It was perfect.
Amazing. They head down to the ring. They have this match.
The whole match was so perfect, like, just with the story, because it was like, Max Caster won't tag Anthony Bowens in, no matter how badly he's doing in the ring. Anthony Bowens is so furious about it. Anthony Bowens tries to storm out.
Right, Jerry Lynn won't let him. Anthony Bowens is like, I've had it, I'm leaving. And Jerry Lynn is like, get you, turn your butt around, young man. You get back to that ring, because in this family, when we have a problem, we face it head on. We do not run away from it.
Yeah, we do not. No one goes to sleep angry.
And then finally, Anthony Bowens gets tagged in. He, like, cleans up. It's, like, such a hot tag. He's knocking him down. And then while he's not looking, Max Caster tags himself back in. He's so mad.
Well, it's like, didn't he get, like, they, like, got knocked over, basically. Like, Max Caster, like, tumbled his way into a tag. And Anthony Bowens is, like, outside the ring. Max Caster's like, and now it's roll-up time. And we're rolling this way and that way. And we're rolling and we're rolling and we're rolling. And then he wins the match with a roll-up. First win in more than 10 months.
His chyron is so funny because it says, like, best wrestler alive, Max Caster, 0-26-1.
This is comedy. This is comedy.
It's genius. Like, honestly, like, I don't think this was the intent for the story at all, but it's so perfect. And I think, like, weirdly, with the Acclaimed, AEW has managed to, like, follow the wins just
they
correctly.
Have.
Like, with the Acclaimed winning the tag team belts back in the day, like, they hit those highs. Like, they've actually been very, like, sensitive to what they should do with them, which
is crazy.
It's
kind of funny where you're like, who is the person involved in this who is good at being like, no, let's just go with it? Like, I don't know. I don't know.
No idea.
I'm like, is it Max Caster?
Is it
Max Caster? Because he does have such a yes-and personality, clearly. You know, he's just kind of like, just let him, you know, just go with it. Just keep
I find him so fascinating because it's like, in many ways, his personality is so odious, but he's so charismatic at the same time, and he can get all these things over that he shouldn't be able to. It's like, fascinating.
Truly one of a kind. Jerry Lynn gets into this ring. He's like, boys, we did it. Let's raise our hands together. Anthony Bowens does not want to do it. The crowd is screaming for them to scissor. Anthony Bowens is great. He's like looking at his hand like it might become possessed, kind of. Like he's like, is the hand going to, will it scissor? And then he leaves the ring.
It's so funny. It's so good to set up a situation where they're going to get us begging for scissoring. Like, that's going to be so satisfied.
It feels great. And I said, because it's like the fact that it's like Max Caster, I did feel this week that his vibe was like, it is so fun for you to be mad. I don't, I'm happy to tag with you again because look how fucking mad you are.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I was like, what else could a little troll do to just like keep pissing Anthony Bowens off? And I'm like, Max Caster, you have to start saying that you just opened a baseball game. You have to start being like, as the pride of pro wrestling, I went to a very exclusive premiere of a new barbecue in my backyard or something. And I just want to see Anthony Bowen's face where he's just like, I am doing something good. I'm doing serious good for my community. And you are not taking it seriously. It's Max Caster is like, I've opened so many games.
It's like literally too bad that June is so far away. Because if Max Caster was like Grand Marshal of like a Pride Parade or something.
Yeah,
like
it's so good.
So bad.
I want it so bad. Oh.
And Anthony Bowes is doing such a great job of being furious. Like, it's just a dynamic that really works, and they're pulling it off. Boy.
They really are both totally killing it.
Shocking.
And Jerry Lynn, honestly, is killing it, too.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense that he's involved at all. Like, I'm just like, Jerry, I don't know why you care. Like, it's like, honestly, you couldn't really do it. And it's like, if it happened, it would be over the top. But like, on some level, I'm like, should you be telling us like some story about like how like you once had a partner you broke up with and you regretted it for the rest of your life? Or like, you know, it's like, you just like let him go open Grand Marshal Pride Parades on his own and you wish that you'd like, should there be some reason that you're invested in this? But then I'm just like, whatever. Cause I like that his vibe is like, I'm a real dad. I'm not a fun dad like Billy Gunn. I'm not a Disneyland dad. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is, I'm trying to make you better men. I'm trying to heal you.
I'm parenting right now, and it's not fun, and it's not easy.
It doesn't look cool. You don't get a big pop for it. It's just hard, honest work that someone has to do.
Like Tony Khan's backstage, like, just assigning various old men to be in charge of Max Caster for like, and every 3 months he has to like rotate them out because they can't handle it.
They can't. Yeah, no, it's like, honestly, I love the idea that it's like Billy Gunn really seemed like he was handling it for a while. And then eventually Tony was like, Max is in charge. Max has gotten to him, and now he's not an adult anymore. He also is just a rogue agent craving the pops. So he had to extract Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn is like, I love being his dad. I want to be his dad forever. Tony's like, it's for your own good. It's for everybody's good. I need somebody in there who is not going to get seduced by his whole
someone
thing.
Stable, someone boring, someone who has, you know, a middle management type who's going to stick to it, someone who's going to wear jeans and a polo shirt, not a cutoff and pink panties, you know?
Right. You need someone who it's like Max Caster is being like, wouldn't it be kind of fun if we did this crazy thing? And like someone who's just like, it wouldn't be fun because I actually need to go home and listen to Car Talk. So.
That's great. Oh my God. Just had a visceral flashback to Saturday mornings in my childhood home. God. Boy.
Loved Saturday morning NPR. Loved a little Car Talk. Good. A little click and clack. Yeah. So yeah. Nailing it. Perfect. No notes.
Amazing.
Best.
I'm sure every other podcast this week also covered
this depth and at this length, certainly, for sure.
Certainly, and was this positive about it, I'm absolutely sure,
We're like, this is the model. Everybody should be looking at it. But it is like, I think you should call it out. Like, they're doing something that you haven't seen, a lot. And then someone's going to be like, they did this all the time at WWE. Well, I don't know. I didn't go there, okay? I'm sorry. I love it.
I feel like I'd be surprised if they did. I feel like the thing they've done well with Max Caster is, like, they use the fact that he's so annoying like to their advantage so much, because it's like the acclaimed breakup, you were like a lot of breakups you're like, why? And this one you're like, oh yeah, I get it
for sure. No problem. Did you see that interview that Anthony Bowens did? I only saw it because like someone was being like, I don't really understand if this is like shoot or work, and it's like it's a work and it's shoot, like for sure. Where it's like he was just like, you don't understand how horrible it is to be Max Caster's partner. And there were weeks where I would be like sweating, like, am I going to show up to work and lose my job because of what he's doing? And he's always doing something that is causing you to fear for your livelihood. Like, it's not fun. This isn't a joke. And it was like, yes, I think you're doing that for this storyline. And also, yes, I am sure that being aligned with Max Caster in any capacity every single day is just like, Max, I had a really fun idea. What if today we shut our holes? What if today we just fucking zip it and we don't cause any problems?
He's reading the news and being like, oh God, no. Like, we can't. Max, let's not do a rap this week.
The constant like feeling you would have of like, okay, do I need to message him and preemptively say he can't do it? Or would that alert him to the fact that it happened? Should I shut my hole and just hope that he didn't look at the Yahoo homepage?
And then probably some weeks he'd be like, this week was really quiet. I think we're in the clear. And then Max Caster references, like, and I was going to say a real one, but I won't because we don't need to be reminded. But, you know, events of 5 years ago, really offensively.
You'll never see it coming, the things that he does to you.
I mean, I'm sure there were moments where it's just like, I thought we were in the clear. I thought this was a good week for me, Mr. Bowen. I thought I was going to have a really good week this week. I was looking forward to a really nice plane ride home, and the Joker movie just came out, and I was going to watch that on the plane, and then I was going to go to Whole Foods with my boyfriend, and I was really, and now look at me, I'm in Tony Khan's office again. I didn't fucking do anything.
I just wanted to be like a really, just a good, straightforward pro wrestler. I didn't want to be the straight man in like the world's worst comedy duo.
Yeah, so I'm sure there are moments of great enjoyment and then moments of just like, fuck you, Max, fuck you. So anyway, was there anything you wanted to talk about that you did not get a chance to talk about?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay, girls, then on that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
It's always Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, and Blue Sky, Tunnel Talk Pod, via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have a souvenir stand. You can find it at chop-tees.com. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out all the other great podcasts on the network. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty, and as always, please come back next week.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.